I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to be talking about our vacation survival kit. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. We all want vacations to be perfect. We get stressed trying to get ready. Then we get stressed about returning, and suddenly it feels like a loss of freedom and too much catching up to do. And those good effects of the vacation can seem like they're in the rearview mirror. And so that's why we're turning to our senior contributor, Dr. Nancy Horn, New Haven psychologist, to help us create a vacation survival kit. How do we remove a lot of the stress from the entire process of vacation? I have to say, Nancy is wise about everything I can think of, and she seems to have this special knack for enjoying her life, and so she's my mentor in all things. Okay, Nancy, let's go step by step on this. And by the way, if you want to hear the show again as a podcast, share it with friends and family, you can check it out at our online site, WNPR.org, search The Faith Middleton Show. Okay, step one, Nancy. We know, let me just set this up, because we know we're lucky to even have a vacation from something. But getting ready for one of these can feel like a nightmare at work and at home. Let me just list some of the things. Who takes over the work project while you're gone? Or the animals? What if you can't finish your project in time? Usually the mail needs to get stopped, maybe the newspaper if you still have it delivered. Do you cancel the doctor's appointments or reschedule them? Do you need a haircut? What about a pedicure, a manicure? What about the clothes that you're packing for you and perhaps many others? Do you need cold, warm? What do you need? How do you fit it? The bikes, the stuff, the money, the cost of the vacation, the transportation. Is the car okay? Who's getting gas? Who's checking the tires? What time do you leave to avoid the traffic the most? What if one cares and the other one doesn't? Rush, totally stressed. You get the idea.
I certainly do, Faith. And most of what I will be saying comes from people in my practice who, just in the course of just chatting with me, will complain about various aspects of trip taking. I mean, right from, say, the very beginning, like who's planning the trip? Why doesn't he ever plan the trip? Why do I always have to do it? If he really loved me, he'd be planning the trip.
So for some people, it's an act of love to have somebody else do the planning.
Yeah, they want that. But in actuality, people have different skill levels. Some people are really good at going on the different travel sites and finding cheap flights and making decisions. And there's other people that can't make a decision because they're worried about money or whatever.
And there are different styles about this because, for instance, I'm someone who wants to have a certain amount of planning. I'll have certain things that I would enjoy. Even planned for me during a day, but I need a fair amount of time to wander.
Oh, there are
without plans.
Oh, Faith, there are people who want every single second of a vacation planned from beginning to end. And then there's other people that would really prefer to have absolutely nothing planned. They want to sit on the beach. And part of the joy for them is to be able to do whatever they want to do. So huge difference.
So that starts even with the planning, before I even started my list. Okay, now, so let's go to getting ready.
And then getting ready, people can do a couple things. One of all, they can decide they want everything perfect before they leave. And half the things on their list that they think they have to do, they wouldn't have done the week before. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have gotten that article finished. They wouldn't have finished writing the article. There's lots of things they wouldn't have done. They wouldn't have cleaned up the mess in the hallway before they left. But they feel a pressure to make everything perfect.
So you're adding tasks you're not even aware of.
Well, you're demanding greater perfection before you leave. And partly it can be because people have anxiety about traveling. They're a little bit scared of traveling. And just because it's different or the transition.
And so this is the part you can feel like you have control over before you go into a zone that you don't have control over.
You take the anxiety and you put it into tasks. And if you find yourself running around with your, just completely out of control, you can ask yourself really what's going on with your feelings. What is going on? Are you scared? Are you...
Here's the thing I will admit to, and I'm mortified to say this, but I'm famous for heading to the car with a shopping bag of shoes. Because
that didn't get in the suitcase?
No, that aren't even going near a suitcase. I mean, that's how many shoes, provided it's a car ride, that I am taking with me. I have anxiety about wanting to have the clothes that I want with me, and I don't know what they are. But I want to look as good as I can for whatever I'm doing. I mean, even if I have on something sloppy, I want it to be my choice. I care about what it looks like.
People that carry your bags must love you, Faith. It's like, but yeah, and I'll tell you, Faith, what I just started doing, and this sounds really wacko since we're sharing wacko stories. I started packing ahead of time, and I find it so pleasing. I never did that before because I don't have trouble with packing, really. I'm able to throw everything together. If you give me an hour, I can pack, and it's not really that stressful for me. But I started doing it a couple of days ahead of time, and it just happened because I knew that I literally did not have that hour. And so I was packed a day or two ahead of time. With the suitcase open, I can still take out the DOP kit and use anything I need. And I'll tell you, it's been a miracle. It makes traveling so easy because the stuff's already packed.
And
it's
if
crazy.
You think of something at the last minute, you say, oh.
So it's a little, it seems like it might be a little OCD, which I'm not, but it was really great. Great change.
So but what I like about that is it where you start earlier in the week, and you have to, I do this sometimes too, and you have to be comfortable walking around a suitcase in your room.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's what I do. And the idea is don't trip over the suitcase. But, you know, you still have, that helps me with my stress if I start early the way you do.
If they have it in there. The other thing is people can sit down and look at every single day and decide literally what they're going to wear. So they make the decisions about what they're going to wear every single day.
And
so
what
they stick
still
with
fits.
That.
That's another thing. You have to try on all your clothes again.
That's more time consuming. It's absolutely true. But yeah, especially if you're going to a different climate, it's difficult because you have to find all the clothes.
Okay, we're going to get to so you've mentioned the word perfection in both planning and in the idea of packing, that there's a little bit of and we're going to get into this next when you get to the vacation itself, but we haven't done the traveling yet. So in terms of all the things that have to get done besides packing, I mentioned them all, the mail stopping, possibly the newspaper stopping, the last minute emails, taking your equipment, you know, and any kind of
pet to the kennel.
Absolutely. Pet, your animal, or you know, hopefully you're taking your animal, but if you can't or something, whatever it might be, all the details, the bills that have to go off that you might miss, phone calls you have to make to them in case one comes when you're not there, stopping the mail.
Right. And many bills you would not have paid actually during that week that you're gone.
Yeah.
If it was a regular week, you would have put them off for that week.
But. So these are real. Yes, but you would have been there when it came.
True.
When it arrived. And see, you're not going to be there. And so you have the anxiety of, say, it's your credit card bill. If you're lucky enough to have one, you know, it's your credit card bill. And you think to yourself, I don't want to be charged interest. What if, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm just trying
people
to
people taking
up.
Long vacations, that could be a problem.
Hair products, that's another big worry. But,
yeah.
But anyway, so, what, these things have to get done. Somebody has to get the gas, check the route, pack up the car.
Yeah, many of them do. Conflict. Sometimes people have friends that can do things when they've left them, and people are willing to do it, saying, "I went on my vacation. I didn't get this done. Would you help me with that?"
My plans.
And they would be willing. Yeah, they would be willing to do it. I think some things really require some planning. Lately, I've noticed that people are getting held up a pretty long time by flights that don't go into a place. You know, if your flight gets canceled, you have to be held up for a long time. So I started thinking, gee, I really probably should not try to just bomb into a place exactly when I have to be there. Now, for vacations, usually you don't have to be there exactly at that moment. But to leave more airplane time, leave more downtime in case there's trouble with the flights.
So on that list that I mentioned to you, those things have to get done most of the time. How do we think about them so that they're not as stressful? It doesn't feel so stressed.
Well, people, if they don't leave time for doing a task, they get really stressed. So if you say, listen, I'm going to need, like I said, I need an hour to pack. If somebody says, I need several hours. Well, I told you, I'm a pretty fast packer. But I have a yellow pad with me, so I've done the yellow pad ahead of time, writing down all the clothes that I'm going to take and what I need so that I can cross everything off.
Okay, so in terms of all the other things on the list, I'm trying to get you to. I keep taking you down side roads. I'm trying to get you to say, How do you think about it? Are you saying start those things early too?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, yeah, plan how much time it's going to take you to do it. If you try to fit this in your life when you're working full time and you're doing everything else and you haven't planned ahead how to do it, it's a problem.
It takes you longer to get ready than you ever think it's going to. At least it's true for me. I can start packing and leave the entire night before. So that's quite a number of hours.
Yes, it is.
And I'm not done.
Yeah.
And so I see
you,
that
next time you better leave a couple days just to get stuff done.
Okay. So never mind, because this is a source of stress with people of who's packing.
Yes.
Who's packing the suitcases, who's packing the car.
And there's people that get really resentful that they always have to be the packer.
The laundry. Who has to do all the laundry. So then the car packing itself for people who are using a car is a whole other issue that can cause a lot of trouble.
And again, there's people that have skills at this and other people that do not have skills. They're not talented.
So let's say you're on the road and completely stressed out. It'd be very common to have a fight, right?
Absolutely. People fight often around sort of the stress that went into getting ready as they're going out the door.
Because blood pressure is up.
And people are up, especially as they're trying to go to the flight. A lot of people who are scared of flying or scared of traveling, they start fighting in the car on the way there.
So now it comes to there's traffic, and that can be unpleasant. There are people, don't you notice, that can handle the traffic, and other people who are much more impatient and just irritated by its very existence, even if it's just a slowdown for 10 minutes.
I mean, most people have the experience of being on vacation and not having anxiety on the vacation. And I think that's what you really want to have really all the time, but certainly all around the whole vacation. So how can you eliminate anxiety? And some of the time you can just say, listen, I'm going to be mellow. Going to be cheerful, mellow. I'm going to make the ride to the airport part of vacation. We're going to start having fun right now.
Snacks,
and, yeah,
snack planning.
Get into having a great time.
So you can plan music to take in the car or books on tape. That's hilarious. Books on tape, as we used to call them. What else? It's all kinds of snacks. I have a relative who used to say to his kids when they would travel across the country many times a year to go to Colorado, the night before we all go to the supermarket together, and whatever can fit in one grocery bag, you can have anything you want in the supermarket as a snack. And so the kids thought it was a grand adventure, you know, driving for two straight days.
Right. Well, we drove across the country and we got a treat, I think about every hour. It wasn't food, but I think like every hour, every couple hours, there'd be a little baggie that would have some kind of toy in it or some activity thing.
That's a great idea.
Oh, it was really fun. It was great.
Did the adults get one too?
No.
No,
just
for the kids.
They just got children being quiet for a few minutes after they handed out one. That was great. No fighting.
All right. We would like to hear from you. Now, maybe you have a solution to something that's been particularly stressful for you, getting ready on vacation, coming home. We'd love to hear it. Or if there's a situation that you find the most stressful, we'd love to hear that too, because we're saying what strikes us, and maybe we can talk about it if we haven't hit on yours yet. 203-776-WNPR. A short break with Dr. Nancy Horn, and we'll be right back. Our vacation survival kit. You can find what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. In fact, you can go there if you would like to share this particular show with someone you care about. WNPR.org, search the Faith Middleton Show. And of course, right now, we're up there online with all kinds of recipes and cocktails and value wines at foochmoose.org. So you'll see. Nancy Horn is here, our senior contributor, New Haven psychologist. We're putting together a vacation survival kit. Nancy, you made a point during the break that I'd like to do right now about how anxiety is really at the root of every single thing we've been talking about.
Well, people don't want anxiety on their vacation. They really don't want it. They don't want to have it themselves. They don't want other people to be anxious. And so I think that's just so important to keep in mind.
And yet the process is filled with it. I remember when you were on the show, you were talking about how the preparation, if someone's going on a date and they don't know the other person, you used to say, if you go into too much preparation, the very act of doing that can make you anxious. Right. And so then you feel more anxious on the date instead of just being yourself.
Right.
Is that true with vacation prep, do you think?
I think so. I think what I'm saying, I think that people have too high expectations for getting everything done before they leave. And they get too worried about how they're going to look or what they're going to take with them or whether they're going to have the perfect thing in their suitcase. And these are people that have enough money and they're going to a place where they could actually buy a bathing suit if they forgot their suit. So anything to cut down on the amount of anxiety makes them feel like they're more in a vacation mode.
So let's say we're at the site. Now,
yes.
Going into this vacation, maybe this depends on how much stress you have been under for some time. Maybe it has to do with your history about vacations. Whatever it is connected to, there's something about vacation being associated with perfection.
Yeah, I think people want it to be perfect. Some people are pretty mellow about it. It doesn't matter. I think the main thing people have to do is they have to ask the people they're with, what their goals are or what their values are. What do they want to accomplish on this vacation? And one can ask themselves that, too, because then they can more directly go about doing it. But I've seen people that have totally different values about vacations, and we all assume everybody's like us for some bizarre reason. I don't know why we do that. But if I want to be on the beach all the time, I figure, oh, everybody must really want to be on the beach all the time. And so then you're traveling with somebody that actually does not want to be on the beach. They want to look at historical sites and they want to travel around, or they want to be hiking and getting as much exercise as possible or doing some dangerous stunt. Because they can't do it in their regular life,
what are your wishes?
Yeah, assess it ahead of time and assume that the other person is different than you are. Assume that they have different wishes, different values, that they care about different things. And if you need to split the time in half doing one thing or the other, or split your vacations in, you know, take turns taking vacations where you go to the mountains one vacation, another vacation you go to the beach.
So this can get right down to the very this can start in the pre-planning stages or when you get there.
Oh, absolutely. I saw people who let me just tell you this. I'm going to take a trip to Sedona in September with a couple of people who invited me to go with them, and they were not going to take a car. They were going to fly into Phoenix, and they were going to not take a car there. And I said, you know, I just can't really imagine that I could go for a week without a car, so I don't think that's really possible. So I'm getting a car, but that's just my values. I need to have a car if I'm in a place like that. And I've seen other people where they were with another family. They were staying with some people in the Catskills, and they were trying to establish what they're going to do with these six kids, or maybe I think it was like nine kids, actually. And the woman of the house, she said, well, I think that what should happen is the kids have to eat what there is at meals, and that's it, and nothing else. And the other woman said, no, that's not going to work at all. No, I'm not going to do that with my kids. So they were establishing right away that they have different standards and attitudes about their children and how they're going to treat their children.
Wow, okay.
Working out those values.
So this idea of perfection, where if something goes wrong, and I mean the most basic things, it rains most of the time, let's say. You're on your vacation, you have it for a week or 10 days or longer. And you get there and suddenly it's raining or cold or foggy. It's not what you had dreams about, that you would be in the warm sun and you were outdoors. And it's completely different. And so you're mad and crushed.
Yeah. Faith, I try and get people so that they're pretty much trying to be happy in most of their life, so that they're not so – that what happens on the vacation is not so crucial to their happiness, because they're really working on trying to be happy all the time and making decisions that are going to do that for them, and being mindful and being making choices.
This thing about being mindful, would you say exactly what you mean about that? Because what does that give you? In terms of, I mean, if you're mindful, does that help in some way with enjoying whatever is happening?
Oh, in many ways. First of all, what I'm talking about is I'm talking about somebody having an in-the-moment awareness of what's going on with them. So you're watching yourself and you're saying, hey, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? A real awareness of being in your body. And that's why I try and teach in my practice when people are learning. I have them stop for a second and just be aware of everything they can be aware of in, say, 2 minutes, whether it's sounds or touching the chair or what they're thinking or how they're feeling, and having practice being in the moment. And then I have people, after they get good at doing that, check in with themselves to see what they care about. Like, that means, what do they have energy for? Well, what are they excited about? What's going on? And it might just be they have energy because they're starving to death and they want to get some food. They might only want to be getting to Greece because that's what they wanted to see for their whole life. But that sort of in the moment awareness of how you feel, then that enables you to make choices in your life so that you are taking care of yourself well, because you're aware of how you feel and who you are. And it's got enormous value.
Do people have almost always have fights on vacation, or do people we've said this before, that people tend to have more sex on vacation because they have free time.
Most of the couples I know,
closer, and so
most of the couples I know get along better on vacation, and I think that's because they have time. There's less pressure for them to be doing their work kinds of things. But also they get to be more playful. Most people get together with somebody else because they're in some kind of play situation. They're dating, they're going to the movies, or they're watching TV, they're doing sort of play. So vacation is very similar to that. And they get to be lovers again. They get to be romantic and have no pressure.
Ah, love that. Okay. Sarah, Faith Middleton with Nancy Horn, our vacation survival kit. Which side are you on, Sarah? Are you going to talk about something torturous or a solution?
Well, I had a solution for my kids. I travel a lot with my children. We do scavenger hunts. But it gives them a clipboard with a scavenger hunt that I've made of things that I know that we're going to drive past, and then a blank piece of paper for the ride home they make their own.
Now, so on the way there, you know you're going to, because you go to the same place all the time, so you know what you're going to see. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, if I've driven past it, or I'll check and look for landmarks or even exit numbers so that I know that we're going to see an exit 23.
Coming back, what's their job?
So, and then they get a blank piece of paper so that if they see something that they go, oh, Mom, that should have been on the scavenger hunt, they make their own scavenger hunt for the ride home.
What a great idea, Sarah. I love that. And it keeps them occupied? Did we lose her? Yeah.
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm going in and out.
It keeps the kids occupied, in other words.
Absolutely. It does. And it's easy if they forget about it for a while and we're having a good time, then we can ignore it. And then, you know, they start to fight and I go, oh, look at that. Maybe that should be on your scavenger hunt. And they go back to it again.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
But we take long. It's 4 hours back and forth to my ex-husband's house. And then we take 7 to 10 hour car trips for vacations as well. So we do a lot of driving.
Wow. All right. Thank you so much.
Need a lot of games.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Can we stop for a second on the car trip? Because to what extent, for some people, this is an opportunity to spend time together as a family. And, you know, if it's your friends, a bunch of adults, and you're in the car together, that's sort of a no-brainer, or kind of could be. Other times, you know, people are saying, as long as the kids aren't crying, I don't care if they're watching a movie, reading a book, what they're doing, they're not fighting back there, I'm okay.
That's true. And I think entertaining kids is a great thing to do. I mean, some people only pick vacations to entertain the kids. So they'll go to Disney World or something like that, where that's really their focus. But the rest of the time, parents, you want some time usually to themselves where they have some sort of sanity. But, yeah, games are great. Even adults, we play Botticelli all the time in the car. If we get bored, we play Botticelli, you know.
How does that work?
You pick a famous person and you say the first initial of their last name. And you have to be certain that everybody in the car knows this person. And then people try and stump you with a person that has the same last name initial. So if it's Harry Houdini, then they would have to pick somebody to stump the person by saying, oh, well, you know, are you this famous writer mm-hmm. whose last name starts with H? And they have to guess this person. If they don't guess it, they get two free yes, no questions.
So let's come back to on vacation itself, that sense of perfection that a lot of us have about vacation. You know, to what degree do we get into that because we were so stressed to begin with that the vacation has to add up to so much to better where you were? You know what I mean? I mean,
maybe
you're just...
So. Yeah, have to be great to make up for it. And also people have dreams. Like I said, somebody might have the dream that the vacation's got to go a certain way. And they really do want it to be that way. I personally like to just sort of enjoy whatever there is to enjoy in a place. I try to make sure I have with me whatever I need to sort of entertain myself. I don't want to be trapped somewhere without my, you know, iPhone where I could play some game or a book where I can read it. But basically, I try to just be open to whatever's happening and enjoy it. But I know there's people that want to, like I say, go to Greece, and this is the trip mm-hmm. of their lifetime, and they really want it to be perfect.
I have a thing about romance attached to vacations, I think. You know, whether it's, oh, let's have a romantic picnic, whatever that means, you know. I think to just be really connected to say, you know, as many things as you can about appreciating the other person, about that moment you're in.
And you can do that with kids,
too. Food. And
you can do that with kids, too, because kids like to, you know, everybody can answer questions like, how do you feel? What's your favorite thing? Or do we love each other? How much do we love each other? And it's cute. Very cute.
Here's our number if you'd like to jump in, whether it is to say, look, here's how we've solved a particularly stressful part of going on vacation, or to say, you know what? You haven't mentioned this yet. Here is a really stressful part of traveling for us and for my friends. 203-776-WNPR. Rob, Faith Middleton with Nancy Horn.
Hey, Faith, how you doing
Hi,
today?
Great, thanks, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, a few things. First off, when you know what your expectations are, lower them, because unless you're really lucky, the entire trip is not going to go as you want it to.
Is that what you do, Rob?
I've found it's a lot easier to do it, because if you've got expectations of this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. When they don't, you find yourself saying, you know what, I'm not having fun on this vacation, regardless of how much fun it really is, because you're expecting something to happen one way, and it never, that I know of anyways, ever actually happens the way you want it.
Mm-hmm. And it's true with food, especially, I find. You know, you have all kinds, you read all these things, and then you get somewhere, and you say, boy, that was a lot of money for something not so great. And so you have to go in with the right attitude there, too, Rob. Rob, thank you, as always, for calling the show.
One more thing.
Sure.
If you're leaving in the middle of the winter, even if you're leaving in, like, end of July, August, or September, especially from the East Coast, leave a day early. Because in the winter, we have snows. In the summer, we have hurricanes. And especially if you're like me who loves to go on cruises, the ship waits for no one. you get there a day early, not only are you not feeling rushed the day before your cruise, but you'll actually make sure you get there early.
Hmm. Thank you, my friend. You have a good vacation.
Oh, when I go on it.
I know. Okay. Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Some people really want to be totally mellow on their vacations. They want to not do anything. They want to have mental space where they're doing absolutely nothing, sort of staring straight ahead, looking at the water. And they really don't want to engage in much activity. And there's other people that want to do a lot.
Do you think there is something about the beach or the water, but often people go towards salt water on a summer vacation. Is there something about that in the air even? You know, something about these ions that helps people to be in the moment, because people do just sit and stare.
Yeah, and they're doing nothing, which is probably quite good for them, actually, to be doing that. Although there's other people that get completely antsy in that situation, so I can't say. I mean, they really don't want to be in the sun. They don't want to be sitting still. They don't. They really want to just get something accomplished and be proud of themselves.
Do you think you can read a book and be in the moment at the same time?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
I don't expect you really to have an answer, but it's just something I think about a lot. I'm when I'm in a book I love, I'm with those people, I'm in that place.
Yes.
And I try and ask myself, am I in the moment? Or I don't care, really, because I'm having such a good time. You know, finding
out. Well, if you have an awareness that you're trying to escape and that you love being in their world, then you have that awareness that you're doing that. But
I don't. I guess then I'm not in the moment because I don't have any of that awareness. I'm just in there. You know, I believe the author
totally
entirely.
Immersed.
I'm just totally immersed. I mean, I guess that's why people take mysteries on vacation.
Yes.
You know, because you go zip straight into that
right.
world.
Right.
Even if it is additionally anxiety producing. 203-776-WNPR, creating a vacation survival kit here on the show. We're going to talk about what it's like to return home from vacation and the dread that begins as the vacation starts to wind down, as it just gets past that midway point. Stay with us. Faith Middleton, thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Marion Roy for helping to produce the telephone segment of the show and so many other things. Just a great person. And also great people, our producers, Jonathan McNichol and Lori Mack. Our senior contributor, Nancy Horn, New Haven psychologist, is with us on the show. We turn to her because she is so great at enjoying, I think, every minute of her life. And she's my mentor for just about everything. And so we said to her, hey, how can we do a vacation survival kit? So much pressure going into a vacation, on the vacation, dread about coming back. You know, what can we do about all this? So we're trying to tick off as many things as possible. Nancy, I want to ask you next, and this is an idea that comes from you about how to enjoy other people when you're on vacation. Let's take a call. Jason, Faith Middleton with Nancy Horn. Go ahead.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Jason. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing I was going to say leads right into exactly what you're saying is that you need to find people that are stress-free to travel with. It's a very fine line of who you're traveling with and making sure that the people you're traveling with have the same goals in mind in regards to the vacation.
Now, absolutely. When you say you agree, Nancy, when you both say stress-free, when I think I'm translating that into easygoing types.
Absolutely.
You know, not high maintenance. Go ahead.
Correct. And I have found, you know, between my partner and the group of friends that we're with and the family members that we're with, is that it's kind of fly at the seat of your pants. You make decisions on the cuff. There's you know, if somebody wants to do something, it's mentioned, and if everyone wants to do it, so be it. It's very carefree, very easygoing, very relaxing, and no timetable by which we need to make sure that dinner is eaten at this time or this is done by that time. And it, you have to find that group of people that you can do that with.
You know, there's so many differences. Nancy Horn was saying earlier, it's great to assume that the person or people opposite you are different from you, and so you're not caught by surprise or crushed that you're not the same about it. And especially, you know, this can be true for people in love, because I go into that's, you know, these situations thinking, of course we're going to agree, and then
right.
I'm stunned that we don't agree. You know, it's hard to have any kind of separation between two people, but people are so different. So I'm saying to the two of you about this. Some people get hungry at 4:30. Other people are more European and want to eat at 9, 10 o'clock at night. How do you handle this?
Yeah. Well, the best way to do that is trial and error. Just go on more vacations with the people, and you find those that work, and you make it work. And if someone's hungry, then we say, okay, we'll go get a snack, and you know, we'll come back to what we're doing. You really have to be flexible if you're traveling with groups of people.
Or
you travel by yourself, and I've done that as well. The best trip I ever took was 5 weeks driving cross-country by myself. I drove 9,000 miles in 5 weeks. Stayed with family where I had family, slept in my car when I needed to sleep in my car, or camped when I camped. And, you know, so if you know that you're difficult, or that the people that you may otherwise travel with are difficult, then go by yourself.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much for calling. That was great.
I like that same kind of vacation. I like things to be very relaxed and sort of wing it. Some people, when they're with a large group, like a family, multi-generational family getting together, they decide that what they're going to do is they're going to do the family meal. So the meal and games after, that's when they get together. And everybody's free to do whatever they want before that. So that sometimes helps. But the main thing is to see what everyone's expectation is and how can you do it. And can you work it out that way? Can you have half the time at the beach?
Expectation as in what makes you happy, right?
Yeah. Okay. You know, are we going to spend the morning at the beach and the afternoon at the museum? Are we going to just completely wing it? I mean, I love traveling with my kids in California because we have a blast. One day I was there and I said, oh, gee, I'm missing Kentucky Derby party being here, my favorite Kentucky Derby party. So my son gets on the phone or gets on the internet and he finds a Kentucky Derby party in L.A., and so we scramble around trying to find hats or some decent clothes to wear, and we go to the LA Athletic Club for a Kentucky Derby party. Well, that just came because I was just lodging a silly, you know, complaint about not going to a Kentucky Derby party. And we had a great time. It was hilarious. And then some of the time we're driving around playing punch buggy because we both see a Volkswagen and somebody punches the other person saying punch buggy, no punch back, and
so
ridiculous things.
This gets into the dreaming that my friends and I do. I do this all the time. You know, if I inherited X million dollars, one of the things that is always at the top of my list is saying to my friends, reserve these 4 weeks at different times during the year. We're all going. I'm taking care of it all. We're all going to go someplace. And then I do this on my exercise walks. And then I think, oh, wait, now how are we going to do the planning of how much time you're supposed to spend together? And I think, oh, I'm like you, Nancy. I think, okay, let's gather for maybe lunch some days and dinners the others. And then other than that, there's no expectations unless somebody says, hey, can I go to the museum with you? Or can I sit at the cafe with you? Because that's an issue. How much time, if you're going with other people.
Oh, and there's people differ in terms of how much time they can tolerate other human beings. I mean, they may need a bunch of time by themselves.
Quiet.
You know, you got to kind of build that in if you can.
You said something on another show that I thought was so great, where if someone in the extended family needs a lot of quiet time and isn't interested in a lot of different things, you will go out of your way to make sure that that person has what he or she needs to feel enjoyment so that you can enjoy the other person in the couple in the way that you want. So if that person's a reader, you get them all set up and here's, you know, a book, and here, do you need any snacks? And you get them all set. Are you happy? And then say it's a guy, then the wife and you can go and do what you want. But you want to make sure that the mate is also happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm in favor of people getting to say what they want to do. So I take people to New York City. I ask everybody, you get one thing that you want to do in New York, name it, and everybody will do something different. Everybody does the activity, for the most part, does the activity that somebody picked. And you do all kinds of bizarre things that way. It's really fun.
And even, you know, what happens if someone picks something and you think you're not going to like it?
That's too bad. You just do it. You know, I mean, it may not be to your taste, but you go along for the sport. I mean, obviously, if it's something that's really noxious, you don't have to do it. But the point is that everybody gets a chance to do the activity that they want.
And you're making, you're watching that person be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heather, Faith Middleton with New Haven psychologist Nancy Horn, and we're creating a vacation survival kit. Go ahead. We're going to get to dread now. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi. I have three teenagers, and I'm finding it very difficult to try to coordinate schedules to go on vacation. And then when we do go on vacation, we have to pretty much take all the devices so we can focus on family time and not have them on their cell phone every other minute.
Oh, you mean you take the devices away?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. So I find that's been really challenging. I mean, when they were littler, it was easier because I think we had more control and, you know, to entertain them. But now that they're teenagers, just trying to coordinate a vacation and plan everything has been quite a challenge.
Yeah, that is challenging. Nancy?
Yeah, I think people, it is easier to do when they're younger. And the teenagers want to connect with their peers. So they want the electronics so they can connect with their peers. And it's harder for them to be without it, I think. But I know many people who do an anti-electronics thing for their vacation. And the kids end up having, they can have a good time. They really can, but it's hard to convince them.
To their utter amazement.
Yeah, it's hard to convince them to do that.
Thank you so much, Heather. For a lot of people, the dread sets in once you get past that halfway point in your vacation, no matter how long it is. That's when the counting begins. Oh, only this many days. Oh, we're leaving in 2 days. Oh, it's tomorrow. Oh, I don't want to go back. Oh, it's been cloudy most of the time and now the sun is coming out. Whatever it might be, I don't want to go back to work or whatever. What do we do with that?
You know, Faith, I sit on vacation. I say, okay, now how can I get this exact feeling when I'm home? How can I do it when I go back to work, when I'm back? How can I have the same feeling? And I study it very carefully, analyze it and say, okay, now you've got to be able to do this. How can you feel the same way? And I try, but, you know, it's very difficult because we're busy working and we're not sitting around doing stuff. The things I emphasize are, one, try to make sure your living situation and your work situation are positive for you as much as possible, as much as you can do. I also talk about, you know, making choices. Try to conduct your life in a way where you are actually making choices. Each day I get up, I say, okay, what am I going to look forward to this day? And it might be just talking to a friend on the phone, or it might be seeing my daughter. It could be many things, but I do think about that.
But you're mindful about that.
Yeah, I'm mindful about myself, what makes me tick, what I like, what makes me proud of myself, what do I want to feel good that I have done.
So the sense of dread is real, because to come home from a vacation where there's been a lot of enjoyment, that is a loss.
Yeah, it is, because you miss it. People want to show their pictures.
Yeah.
They want to show the photos, and they want to talk about their trip. If you want someone to love you, just ask them what they loved on their vacation and let them talk for a whole bunch of time. So, very easy way to be liked.
Yeah, exactly. So people, what about the process of running through memories as you're coming back? You know, running the memories where, you know, these were the things that I noticed. These were the things that I enjoyed.
That was a great idea, Faith. You mentioned that, of saying with the other people that had been on the trip, let's talk about what we loved on this trip. And I think that's a great idea because it helps solidify the memory. I think that's what's terrific.
It maybe keeps a little of the vacation going, even.
And you can refer back to it. I always try to get people, when they come back to work, the first day back, don't have a lot of expectations on yourself. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself. Say to yourself, okay, it's going to be hard for you to come back. Just take it easy. You don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. Just go into work. Just No pressure. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do a great job. Just show.
Get because, through the day.
Yeah, because it's been very brave of you to actually go back to work. So you're a good guy.
And is that a time to say, to take pride in yourself for having, say, gotten through the day or handled it with some aplomb or?
Yeah, I wish people would give themselves much more credit for what they do. I think their life would be much easier if they could say, hey, listen, I did a really good job with that. Look at how much I've done in the last year. Look at my strengths. Look how kind I've been to somebody. Whatever it is where you give yourself some credit for it.
Jenny, Faith Middleton with New Haven psychologist Nancy Horn. Go ahead, Jenny. Vacation survival kit, as you know.
Hi.
Hi.
I just got back from a trip to the Bahamas with two of my friends, and it was a definite adventure. And I think in a lot of ways we did some things wrong in that we didn't do any planning together. I did all the planning, and they just went along for the ride. So we didn't take into account our different styles of vacationing. So when we got there, some people desperately wanted to be at the beach, and some people wanted to be shopping, and there was some tension. And the phrase I just kept repeating over and over was, vacations don't have to be perfect to be wonderful. And once we agreed on that agreed that we could go separate ways and didn't have to stay attached at the hip, we had a lot better time.
Huh. And did you agree to hook up at certain times? You know, we'll see you for drinks at night, or we'll see you
exactly
at dinner.
Yeah, we had an all-inclusive resort, so we had like reservations for dinner. And we agreed to separate and come back for those reservations.
Huh.
And that way we didn't feel this pressure to be attached at the hip all the time.
Jenny, that's great. Thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. What about this idea of planning something to look forward to? You could do this even before you leave on vacation. Even if it's a month away. Or 2 months away, having something that is you're just so thrilled about, whether it is a dinner with certain friends or a weekend away, just something so it doesn't feel like everything's coming to a crashing end and you have this endless road ahead of you.
Well, a lot of people plan their vacation right away. They plan when their next vacation's going to be because they really want to look forward to it.
On vacation or as soon as they get home?
Well, on or as they get home, they plan it so they can look forward to it. But I think people do want to look forward to things. And I know people plan like 3 or 4 year vacations, like in advance. You know, they know they're going to go to Nepal, and they're going to go in 5 years. So they're looking forward to that and planning it.
And that leaves no room for you bump into people you really like them, and they say they're going to Brazil or Italy, someplace in Italy, and you think, oh, we'd be great travelers together.
Yeah, well. That's true. You have to be a little flexible.
But the fun of the thing we skipped over is when you arrive in a place that first time in your hotel or your cottage, those who want to just leave the suitcases and head out.
Yes.
And those who want to unpack in a very orderly way.
Right. Well, people are different. I mean, they really are different. I traveled with somebody once, and when we got into the motel, they took objects of theirs out of their suitcase, and they covered every single space, every table, every counter, every bathroom.
Wow.
They put an object of theirs there. And I thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. But I guess they were
you haven't
making
traveled.
Themselves at home.
You haven't traveled with me, and more's the pity. I mean, I will rearrange the furniture completely.
Well, that's probably,
if
probably
it's not bolted to the
well,
floor.
You're probably contributing to the
No, I agree. I will. I mean, I'll say, oh, no, 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 no. You know, this is designed all wrong. And it goes all, you know, I'll switch things all over the place. I'll go get flowers to make it beautiful.
That's great. You sound like a great person to travel with.
Well, you too. What fun this is. Okay, so we're going to try and nobody wants anxiety on vacation, although it seems to be built into the process of going traveling and coming back. And so what we've been trying to do here on the show is come up with ways to limit that anxiety or get rid of it altogether, at least as much as possible.
Yeah, I think, and people want to have choice also, Faith. So even when you have little kids, you sort of say, hey, what would you like to do? I think I might have told you one time I was hiking. The next time we went to a museum all in the same day in our hiking clothes, we went to the museum.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Who cares, right? Enough with my bag of shoes and worrying about what I'm wearing. Thank you, Nancy Horn, New Haven psychologist, senior contributor on the show for our Vacation Survival Kit, which is online right now at WNPR.org. If you want somebody to hear this show again, search the Faith Middleton Show. And as always, this show is about the richness of life. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.